Hey, do you remember your first taste of Thai food? I do, and it was not artisanal. I was 9 or 10 years old, and it was a bag of a Thai brand of instant ramen. And I remember two things about it. One, it was insanely hot for me, and because I was a stupid kid trying to impress his cousins, I kept saying it was fine and kept eating it, even though I was visibly crying. And the other was that the flavors were just not like anything I'd ever had before. It was lemongrassy and kefir lime leafy, and I'd never tasted those things before, and honestly, I really didn't even know if I liked it, but I remember how cool it was to have a chance to taste something totally new. And of course, I love those flavors now, but back then, I didn't know anything about Thai food, and I didn't know anyone who did either. But in the, well, many years since, something incredible happened. In the past 15 years, the Thai population in America has doubled in size, and it's a community that opens a lot of restaurants. In fact, if you're just looking at the ratio to the population, there are 10 times more Thai restaurants than Mexican ones in the United States. And in addition to, you know, all the people who are just like slinging the greatest hits like Pad Thai, there are so many terrific ambassadors and teachers of Thai food in the U.S. People like Mai Pham, Chris Yembenrung, Hong Tai Mi, who you'll meet in a second, James Siaboot, and Andy Ricker. So this week, we want to get a little bit into some of the more popular Thai dishes, some of the ones you may never have heard of, and what they all mean to the people who make them. But first, we'll start with curry. Now, there are hundreds of curries all over Thailand. The most common ones you see in the U.S. are probably based on coconut milk and are probably named after a color. So that color comes from a curry paste, this, you know, flavor bomb of spices and aromatics. And we got a lesson on making a homemade one with the chef Hong Tai Mi. All right, chef.
Hello.
Thanks so much for coming to my house.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
You know, I am actually really curious because the curry paste is such a key part of Thai cuisine.
Yes.
Certainly, you can buy lots of them, but, you know, many, many, many people I know who cook Thai food say many of those are great, but if you want a truly great curry paste, you have to make it yourself.
True.
So I remember the very first Thai cookbook I ever bought. It was called True Thai, and I remember the opening story in the book was that when this chef came to the United States, he had a very small bag. He didn't have a lot of possessions, but he brought his mortar and pestle.
Yeah.
And he sat with it in his seat on the airplane. He said every Thai cook would bring their mortar and pestle with them.
Well, I have brought mine to the kitchen today. So that is so true.
Yeah, so let's make this paste. You have a lot of ingredients with you. What kind of curry paste are we making today?
We're going to make green curry.
Okay.
And make it super easy because it's like, it could be overwhelming for those who don't know Thai food at all, right?
Sure.
I mean, we talk about cumin seed, we talk about white peppercorn. Some people are like, what is white peppercorn? But if you cannot have white peppercorn, you cannot find it, you can do it with black peppercorn. That's totally okay. And then cumin seeds and then coriander seeds. Okay. That's the dry one.
Okay.
Then we move on to what I call the trinity in Thai cooking, right? Yeah. The lemongrass, galangal, and then kefir lime leaves.
Yeah.
Right? But in Thailand, we would use the rind of the kefir lime itself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In addition to the leaves?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. But here it's harder because of the rules and regulations.
Yeah, you can get the leaves imported, but it's hard to get the fruit. Right?
Correct. And then the garlic and then some shallots. And, you know, to make it green, of course, you start with the green color pepper. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and then
when
you work with the red curry paste, then you work with the red chili peppers.
Yeah.
But instead of using the fresh one, you use the dry one, but you have to hydrate that.
Soak it in water.
Correct. Yeah. And then never, ever touch it with your bare hands.
Yeah.
Because you never know what's going to happen, right? So in Thailand, we use the root of the cilantro. The aroma of it is so much more stronger, and it's going to make you fall in love more with cilantro. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
In Thailand, to make it paste together, you put in shrimp paste.
Okay.
But I choose not to put in shrimp paste to bind it together because of food allergy.
Oh, okay.
You know, because we make this at our restaurant and we want to serve everybody.
Yeah.
So we add it on at the end.
Okay.
Should we get started?
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to toast all the dry ingredients.
Okay. So the dry spices go into a warm pan.
Yeah.
Oh, you toast them together. You have to do it separately.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Dry toast is super easy. You know, medium heat. Toast it.
Oh, it smells so great. You can totally smell that cumin.
Oh, I find that cumin makes green curry so much better. Mm-hmm. Right? I'm taking all the toasted cumin, the pepper, and then cilantro seed into a mortar. Okay. And then you used your strong hand to hold the pesto.
Yeah.
And then use your other hand to use it as a guard.
Yeah. Oh, man, you can totally smell that white pepper. I have to admit, so I tell people all the time, mm-hmm. when you're using spices, mm-hmm. buy them whole, toast them, mm-hmm. grind them mm-hmm. fresh. Mm-hmm. I always do it in a spice grinder, and I don't get this aroma like you would get in the mortar and pestle. Like, it smells incredible.
10 times more. Now, chili, do you like it spicy?
Sure.
You know, Thai cooking is about to your taste. Do you like it spicy? You put more. You don't like it spicy? You put less.
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal.
You
want to try?
Yeah, sure.
I want to see what kind of cook are you. All right, hold.
No pressure.
Yep, okay. Found it.
So I'm right-handed, so I hold the pestle in my right hand.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Left hand goes over the hole of the mortar to mm-hmm. kind of keep things in. And you just kind of...
And you sound like you're in a Thai kitchen right now. Seriously, if you close your eyes right now, this is the sound of Thai kitchen. This is the sound that my grandma would do.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to start putting it more ingredients.
Okay.
Lemongrass in there. Boop.
So things do fly out of the mortar for sure.
It's fine.
Like, this is definitely not going to be a situation where, like, yeah. you're not going to use a vacuum afterwards.
Nope. The coffee lime's there.
Oh, wow.
Woo. Right?
I just got a big chunk of that lemongrass, and it just, you could, like, just feel it bloom. Pounding. At what point do you, like, start grinding?
At the same time.
Okay.
Because, you know, you want to mix it.
Okay.
I'm going to start chopping more ingredients, okay?
Sure.
The lango, another name is blue ginger.
Mmm. Some garlic cloves.
Mm-hmm. To give the body. And then I'm going to chop up some shallots.
I'm not going to lie, this is pretty tiring.
It is. It is. That's why you have to breathe in. Oxygen would help you. It's a stress releaser.
Okay, so now some shallots, just like big diced shallots.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's so interesting because green curry in Thai is called gang kio wan. Gang means curry, kio means green, wan means sweet. Mm. So it's a curry that is green and it's sweet. Sweet yeah. from coconut milk and palm sugar.
Mm, okay.
So it have that round sweetness into it.
Yeah.
And then you can make a spicy part to be add-on. And that is the myth about Thai food. People think like, oh, it's always spicy. It doesn't have to be always spicy.
Well, that also varies region by region too, right?
True.
Like the
Southern eats more spicy. Depends, you know.
So now the paste, you know, we've been pounding for a while, but mm-hmm. it doesn't look like the deep army green curry mm-hmm. paste you get out of a can. It mm-hmm. looks much fresher, much greener, mm-hmm. much wetter.
Mm-hmm. So what, after 15 minutes or so, and now all you have to do is pick your own protein and that you make the dish. So after you pound all this, you can have a meal in half an hour.
Yeah, you just simmer it until done and then you're good. Mm-hmm. So should we try making the paste again, but in a blender this time, and we're gonna have a little side by side. Now, when you make this in a blender,
mm-hmm.
do you put everything in order or you just throw it all in?
I throw it all in and hit go.
Okay.
I always tell my friends to put in some liquid to mm-hmm. help the machine.
Okay.
And the best liquid to put this in is a coconut milk because we're going to cook that in the coconut milk anyway.
Sure.
So everything's in there.
Okay, so just a few splashes of coconut milk into the blender to help it move along when you
mm-hmm.
blend it.
Mm-hmm.
And
go.
Beautiful sound. Okay. Well, that was a lot quicker. I'm not gonna lie, it still smells really good, but it does not smell the same.
Right? Shallots yeah. and garlic.
Yeah, you smell so much shallot and garlic.
Yeah. yeah.
And so much less of the basil, the cilantro, the spices, yep. the herbs. All right, should we just cook these really quick and taste them?
Oh, we have to. Yes.
Okay, so we just have two pans on the stove, one with the pounded curry paste and one with the blender curry paste, and we just kind of let them bubble a little bit and wait for the color to change. Just a couple of tablespoons of coconut milk in each pan and a couple of tablespoons of the curry paste. Not quite one-to-one, a little more paste to milk.
So I'm stirring the blended one. Mm-hmm. You're going to go ahead and keep on working on your homemade one.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
See, can you tell the color is intensifying?
Yeah.
And the smell right now?
It smells really, really good.
So this is the process that I love. Because, seriously, it's like all the aromatic and all the colors start to change. Yeah. And this is the time where you put in the protein.
Okay. So you're not looking for it to really fry or really reduce. You get that moisture out of there. Mm-hmm. The color changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. It deepens.
Yeah.
And then you're ready to add the rest of your coconut milk to make the curry.
And then we're going to season with the palm sugar.
Now, if you don't have palm sugar...
Brown sugar? Or maple syrup, believe it or not.
Oh, right on.
How does that look?
It looks beautiful. So this is... I love the pounded paste because it's a little chunky. Mm-hmm. But cooking down the coconut milk, it's, you know, it looks glossy, it looks smooth. A little bit of that fish sauce for salt and aroma. And you're good? We're done here?
Yeah, let's taste it.
All right. So basically, it's the consistency right now of like a, like a light cream soup or like a light cream sauce.
Yeah. So should we taste the homemade one first?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Wow. The flavors have all come together. Mm-hmm. And this is the blended one. It's definitely tasty, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'd be really happy to eat that.
But this one is more well-rounded, meaning the homemade one.
Mm.
Right? Mm-hmm. More harmonious.
Yeah, in a funny way, because you'd expect the blender to make it more harmonious, but the pounding really sort of brings all the oils together.
Yep. The flavor is more deepened.
All right, well, this has been totally educational, and I'm convinced I need to pound my curry paste until my arm falls off now.
Oh, no.
Well, I got to work out.
You got to work out.
I'm convinced I need to work out.
It's my pleasure being here. Thank you so much for having me.
This is awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Hong Taimi is the chef of Taimi Table in New York and the author of True Thai, Real Flavors for Every Table. You can find her recipe for green curry paste at splendidtable.org, so you can get pounding. And I promise you, you can probably skip the gym that day.